Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello. Welcome to another Tech Talk from home, the homemade show, as it is. Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet is here. I nearly got that out in one take, but there you go. It didn't quite happen. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hi, guys. Homemade, but no mate, by no means Heath Robinson, shall we say?
Yeah, I'm glad you couldn't get your teeth to work today either. Let's find out if Andy's teeth are in today. Andy, how are you?
I'm going to say this slowly but securely. Hello to you all.
Perfect. That's the safest way of doing it, isn't it? Yeah. Well, hello. Yes, this is Tech Talk for another week. Do you know, it's nice to be back. And it's nice. I was here last week, obviously. But, you know, it's nice to be back. I'm kind of properly back this week because the past 2 weeks I've been on holiday. But I decided to come back to Tech Talk early just because I was missing everybody. And I thought, you know, it'd be nice to get back in and do the show. But this week I'm kind of properly back at RNIB. So my email inbox is ridiculous. 450 emails today I had to go through. I know, ridiculous. I mean, it's dead easy, right? On the Mac, what you do is you hold down Control, then you press A. That is select all. And then you hit
Mark
delete.
All is red. Yep.
Oh, no, just delete. Just straight in the bin. It's like, you know what? If it's that important, they'll get back to me. That's my theory on it anyway. Interesting way to resign, but there you are. We've got lots to talk about this week. I know Andy's got a question right off the bat that you want to ask, so I'm going to let you ask it first.
Our listening public are dying to know, how did you get on with the Turbo Scrub from the online shopping or the TV shopping channel?
And what did you Turbo Scrub?
Yeah, what have you been scrubbing quickly?
Yeah, exactly, in a turbo fashion. Well, ultimately, I've got to say, I think it's a decent little thing. I mean, it is basically just a spinning toilet brush. That is the best way to describe it. It's a toilet brush with a battery in it, and it spins like crazy. And what I'm using it for is the bathroom. I'm using it in the bathroom because the shower could do with a bit of a clean. So It gets these stains off. Doesn't sound like I live in a very healthy environment. But, you know, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so good. But, it is making a difference. And, you know, it's certainly got those stubborn stains off. So, how long it'll last, I don't know. And it'll probably end up in the bin or the cupboard in a few days' time. Mm. But, you know, I'm happy with it. I like it. Do you think I should do a demo for the show? Do you think I should record myself scrubbing my shower?
I was expecting one. Yeah, I was expecting a half-hour review of it all, the goods and bads of the Turbo Scrub.
An unboxing of a Turbo Scrub. And here's where you put the battery.
They don't sponsor the show, by the way, so
they
don't give them too much praise.
Damn right they don't. They don't pay anything for it. In fact, do you know what? It costs a few quid. I mean, it wasn't that dear. Was it 20 quid? No. Which isn't bad when you think about it. For a spinning toilet brush, that's not a bad deal.
Bargain.
Anyway, that's not the big news of the week for me.
Oh, right.
Right, look, I've been a bit impulsive this week. But not, well, impulsive in the sense that,
your,
you know,
middle name.
Well, I know. I mean, if it wasn't the other name, it would be that one. And, you know, for me, it is, I love television. As you know, Robin, my wife and I love television. And we've been kind of complaining for a while that the television in our house is too small. 55-inch, on the wall. It's just a bit too small. But it was basically just a big blur. So what we've decided to do is invest in a bigger blur. And I was looking at TVs for a while, and I've always been keen on this, and regular guest on the show, Sean Preece, and regular host as well, who comes in from time to time, he is obsessed with this. Now, Sean has retinitis pigmentosa, which, if you don't know what that is basically tunnel vision, right? So you can only see a pinprick, really, out of his eye. He wants to buy, like, an 800-inch television. And, you know, for him to see that, he'd have to go from left to right to left to right. He'd be all over the place trying to see the screen. It's too big for him. Anyway, I don't have that problem. I thankfully don't have RP. I just have very, 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 very short rubbish vision. And I thought, you know, I could get a bigger telly on that wall. Anyway, on the internet, find a Samsung 75-inch. All the fancy doodads, 4K, Ultra HD, all the rest of it, 800 quid!
Oofed.
So it's in the basket, and it's been purchased. And yeah, I did drop the money on it this week because I thought, do you know what? I kind of want that. So the only problem is trying to find a guy to install it because, of course, with social distancing and you're not allowed anywhere and you're not allowed to do anything, it's going to sit in the box for a while. But I just thought at that price, you can't beat it. So
if you've got really short vision, then it's going to be great exercise for you. running up and down the full length of this TV.
Trying to see it.
That's great.
Well, my wife said, you know, is this ridiculous? Are we just wasting our money here? Because this is essentially going to just be a big blur, a bigger blur than we already have. And I'm like, do you know what? If it's even just a little bit less blurry, I'm all for it. So we shall see how it goes, literally. And if it's great, then great. If not, anyone want to buy a 75-inch telly? Just give
and
me an
a 55.
Email. And a 55, yeah. Oh, that's going in the bedroom. Oh, that's got to go in the bedroom. You know, not throwing that
of
in the
course.
Bin. No recycling goes on in this house. Keep everything, I say.
I didn't think I'd have space for a 75-inch television. I've barely got room for where I am right now.
I don't know if I've got space for a 75-inch television. I will find out when the guy says, no, it's no use.
Yeah.
And it
takes
up back
one look at your front door and goes, no, we can't fit it in through that.
Not happening. No, straight through the front window. But yeah, I'm excited. So that's my toy of the week. That's what I've been getting myself. I do want to talk about MacBooks a bit later because I'm in a bit of a dilemma at the moment. I think I've got the solution to it. And I'm just going to put some ideas out there for everyone. I'd like you guys to join in because, as you know, I've become a bit of a Mac obsessive. I'm very much a Windows guy when it comes to PC, and I use Windows for work. But I'm trying to find more and more reasons to move away from the PC because I'm actually enjoying the MacBook. And I read so many forums, especially on like AppleViz. I read lots of people saying how they find the Mac very difficult, and I totally understand that. But as great as Windows is and as great as JAWS is, I do think there are real benefits to using the Mac. I know you feel similar. You've got both because you've got the Mac with the VM, the virtual machine Windows, haven't you, Robin? So
yeah.
You've kind of got the best
of both.
World. But what do you use more? That's my question.
When I'm working, so between 9 and 5, I'm probably more in the VM because of Office.
Mm.
So, you know, Word, Outlook, PowerPoint, that sort of thing, which aren't great on the Mac side. But the rest of the time, no, I'm probably on the Mac side more. So it really depends on what you want. But when you've got both at your fingertips, that's really, really good. Yeah.
And but there are pluses and minuses to that. You know?
Yeah. You've really been looking into this, haven't you? And I would probably use the word aficionado rather than obsessive. But yeah, you're kind
of
really.
Well, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
embracing.
I do, and interestingly, because Andy is a Chromebook lover. I know you're a big fan of that, and I'm getting
the
that now.
Pixelbook's amazing.
It is. It's a brilliant machine, and you know the accessibility on it. I've always been a bit questionable. I've always found a bit questionable, but I think it's getting better. Interestingly, I did manage to. And by the way, you can thank me later. I did solve a problem. I had to update Google this week myself. I had to contact Google through Be My Eyes. Amazing. The Be My Eyes app, you've got the specialized help section. In there is Google, and you can contact them. Got this fantastic guy based in Germany who was really, really annoyed that the thing I was trying to do wouldn't work. He tried it. He couldn't get it to. He could replicate the issue easily. He was finding it annoying. And he said all of it is to do. We eventually found the solution. And it was all to do with essentially what we would call, if you're in the Mac world, the rotor, where, you know, the ability to change between granularities of lines, words, characters, paragraphs, all of that. The way to do it, which is suggested on the Google website, which is to use the ChromeVox key, usually the search button, and then your plus and minus keys, didn't work. It wasn't doing anything for me. And he noticed this. It was the same issue with him. He did think it might be a language issue, perhaps if I changed the keyboard to English US, but that didn't do it. And in the end, it was actually because it was a totally different keyboard combination. And that combination to do that, if you do have a Chromebook, is simply ChromeVox Shift and your right arrow. To change the granularity, which is interesting. So, you know, just and they're going to update the documents online to make sure that is changed because clearly that information is out of date. But I think it points to a problem with the Chromebook for me in that there just aren't enough people using it to create a community. And I think that's a shame because it's, you know, it's a very good machine if you only live online and, you know, all you do is everything online, then you've got on okay with it. And I think because it doesn't have as many features as JAWS and on the voiceover side on the Mac, I think that might be a good thing for someone coming to a screen reader early, especially a young person or someone later in life who's trying to navigate the internet. But there are so many options out there, and that's a really good thing. But anyway, we'll get into all that. But look, I could talk for days, as you guys know, about all this stuff. I do want to talk about Macs later. But right now, I want to bring in a guest who's joining us this week. How many times have we tried to get this interview set up, Stuart Beveridge? We finally get there. Stuart, good to have you on the show. You're from Seascape. Tell us what that is.
Seascape is a very small charity in the Fife region in Scotland. If anybody in Fife or anybody's heard of us before, you might know us as Fife Society for the Blind. That used to be us. And then we, and I think it was 2017 or something like that, we changed our name to Seascape. So what we do, kind of, I suppose, much like the RNIB, we have a site support team who deal with, you know, the mobility side, long cane training and, you know, cooking skills, etc. And then you have me as well, which is my title is the Assistive Technology Trainer. So I train people who, much like myself, either have no sight at all or whose vision is, you know, so bad that they need speech. So everything from iPhones, synaptic, JAWS, you know, I could go on and on, but that's kind of my job. And then we have a community engagement side as well, which deals with the volunteering and befriending side of things. So that's, in short, that is our very small charity that I work for.
But that's really interesting, and I think what we'll do is get your contact details at the end of our chat here, because I think a lot of people would be interested in that. We heard from Andrew Coleman recently on the show. I'm sure you had him on.
Yes.
Speaking from Galloway Society in Lancaster, and you know that is, or Lancashire, I should say, that includes Lancaster, I guess. But you know that is. You know, it's great to hear that these organisations exist, because, you know, of course there is RNIB and the Technology for Life team, and you know, always there to help, even through the Be My Eyes app now as well. But, you know, it's great to hear about these local societies, because you can really just get to the heart of it, can't you? You can talk to people where they are. And, okay, granted, where ideally the local society was able to go out and see people, now, of course, you can't, but, you know, you've still got those connections.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and most of us are still able to work from home. You know, thankfully, I can do a lot because of the speech side of things over the phone and training by email. And I really am loving this Zoom platform as well. I mean, I did know about it in the past and I attended some things on it, but it's actually been a really essential tool. And I really want to, when I get back to work, I've already said to our CEO, I actually want to bring this into more of a daily thing for me, and possibly, you know, we can maybe run technology training courses, etc. It's still in the idea stage at the moment, but it's certainly, I think it's something that should be explored more widely, you know, the online web conferencing side. Sorry, can I just quickly say as well, I forgot to mention that we do have an optician service as well. We do actually run an optician service from our charity as well. So that is the full picture of the charity now.
Nah, superb. Amazing. Well, like I say, we'll get the contact details soon. But the reason you're here this week, and I think you're going to be back, Stuart, to talk about other things based on what you're saying, I think a lot of people are very interested in L-Braille, and we've got some interesting comments in, questions for you as well about this. We've been talking this up for a while, and unfortunately, because I went down with something horrendous, but I don't know what it was, we didn't get the chance to hook up. So we're here now, and we do have questions for you. Andy's got the list there. And Andy, I think we're going to start with some questions, a couple of questions actually from James. But before we get to that, just maybe just briefly, I think it would be helpful for people who aren't aware of this. What is the L-Braille and why are you so excited about it?
Okay, so in short, the L-Braille is a fully functional Windows 10 PC, Braille PC. That is it in short. So anything you can do on, you know, a traditional laptop, etc., you can actually do this using the L-Braille. So the L-Braille kind of comes in three bits, if you like. There's kind of three parts to the L-Braille. The L-Braille itself really is just the docking station. It's where all the computer components, if you like, and JAWS lives. So JAWS is kind of the second part to it, which I'll come on to in a moment. So the Ale Braille that I use, just this might be the best way to describe this, is it has 128 gigabytes of storage. It has megabits of RAM, if I've got that correct. And it's driven by the Focus. So it's all really, to go through the Freedom Scientific side of things, it really is a Freedom Scientific kind of product. But the Ale Braille itself, you know, just don't get confused in terms of how it works. The Ale Braille really is just the docking station to hold the Focus and JAWS, but it does have all the computer components built in.
This is really interesting because, you know, I have always loved this idea of the computer without the monitor attached. You know, I love the Mac Mini, right? And I love the Mac Mini because it's a great little machine. I know you're a fan, Robin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great because you don't need to have a monitor attached. You can, of course, have one if you really want to, and it's probably advisable to, but in case you need sighted assistance to check on something. But the point is, it's a really nice little machine, and I've often said it'd be great to get like a Mac Mini in a, you know, without the, you know, without the screen as it is, but portable version, one I could just run on the road, and that would be amazing. But this is kind of like that. It's that computer, Windows in this case, Windows 10 in a system that you can take around with you. It's portable, but it's also without the screen.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's more portable than a laptop, to be honest with you. It comes in a great, I love the case for it, and the case has a nice compartment in the top that I can store all my SD cards and my USB sticks. Slightly going off topic, but it really is very portable, and I think it is, again, because it doesn't have that screen side of things. But if you do need a screen, you know, because it could be used in education, personal life, you know, work-wise, it could be used by people who are deaf-blind. It was designed with you know, that category in mind. So again, there is no reason why you can't connect this up to a monitor. I did it when I first got it, actually connected it up to a monitor I've got at home, and actually even started running a PowerPoint presentation through the monitor. You know, this is the power of this device.
Well, I did say we had comments. We've got comments from James, questions as well from James and Beth, and also Kowal. We'll get to those other comments in a second. Let's start with James's questions, Andy, and let's see what he's been asking Stuart.
Yeah, so there's three here, so let's break it down one by one. So the first one is there a 20-cell model planned with the latest release? I only use a Braille display if I cannot fathom a word audibly. Thus, 40 cells is a sheer extravagance. So, Stuart, how do you say about that?
It's a fair point, isn't it? Because the 40 cells, I mean, it's a big device. It's also quite costly as well. You know, could you get this one that might fit even the Focus 14, Stuart?
That is coming. I can tell you that there is plans for the Focus 14 to house an Ale Braille later on in the year. So that, just to be clear, that is the Focus 5th generation, because the 5th generations are designed with the Ale Braille in mind. As far as I can say, and I think I can categorically tell you, there is no plans for a 20 cell at the moment, because the Ale Braille is designed exclusively for the Focus 5th generation. But I can tell you that, as far as I'm aware, there is one coming for the Focus 14 later on in the year, as far as I am aware.
Yeah, it's key to point out, isn't it? These are for the Focus range of Braille displays. I don't know how you sit on this one, just going off topic a little bit here, and we'll get back to James's questions in a second, but I just wonder, from your perspective, do you think that there is really... Because I think there's a missing Braille display here. It might be the 20, a 32 even. You know, that seems more the sweet spot for me. 40 always seems a bit too big to be on the road with you. 14 always seems too small. Something in the middle would be quite nice, 20 or 32. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, and I've used a lot of Braille displays over the years. You know, like the Orbit 20 is one I've been playing around with recently. And I was kind of like you, Stephen. I actually always kind of like thought, maybe, you know, somewhere in the middle of a 20 and 32, kind of somewhere in between. And when I bought the Ale Braille, I was a bit concerned about size of it, you know, that having the 40 cell rail display in there. I thought, you know, is it going to be heavy? How portable is this thing going to be? And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I know I'm going to end up eulogising about the Elm Braille again, but it doesn't leave my side. And the portability of the Focus 40, I absolutely love it, you know, because I can detach it from the Elm Braille. And for a reading experience, I always found the 14, you know, I was having to use the panning keys a lot, if that makes sense. Yeah. 32, I kind of ended up liking a bit better, but I still felt I was panning, you know, with that too much. The 40, I just think the reading experience is fantastic, but there's no way I would go above a 40. I used to have a Focus 80 at the work, and I just thought,
no way.
Oh, it was a desktop. that is definitely a desktop braille display. But I just don't use it. I just think it's far too much. But I really, really love the 40, and I'm sure in time, particularly with the research that Orbit are doing at the moment, I'm sure somebody along the line will maybe bring a kind of mid-range braille display, if you could put it that way. So watch this space, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think the work that's going on with Orbit is very interesting at the moment. They do have the 20, which is good, bringing out the Orbit 20 Plus soon, and the Orbit 40 as well. Plus the new one they're bringing out for the Orbit Writer, which is just for iPhone input. It's just a keyboard. There's no braille display on that. That's very nice. Anyway, look, let's not drift off too much. Let's get back to James's questions, Andy.
Yeah, the second one is, can you write macros which dramatically cut down on the number of keystrokes to do on repetitive tasks?
Actually, I did try this recently, believe it or not. I can't answer the question too well, but I did try it in Microsoft Word last week, and it seemed to work fine. Again, as I probably will mention time and time again, it is a Windows 10 machine. So, you know, anything you can do with Windows 10, as far as I've tested, you can do on this machine. So a tentative yes on that one, just because I did try it and it did seem to work.
And you could always write a JAWS script.
You should be able to do that as well, yeah.
So, I mean, there's lots of options. And that's the thing about this. It gives you so many options, having that, you know, because it is Windows. Can I just ask as well, I mean, this might be an obvious question to a lot of people, but how does it perform? You know, when I think about these specialist devices, I often think, you know, yes. It's like what was the one I looked at the other day? The HIMS QWERTY, is it the U2 QWERTY?
Yeah.
And it runs Windows Mobile 6. And I'm thinking, oh dear, really? So, you know, how does this perform?
So I think I forgot to mention, and when I was telling you the specifications of my Elm Braille, I was a bit nervous at the start. They have a partnership with Intel. So this Elm Braille, the top of the range one at least, because there are two or three different models, the Elm Braille that I am using has an i5 processor built in, and I believe there's one with an i7 if you upgrade the hardware coming out this year as well, because of the partnership they now have with Intel. So the i5, the speed is unbelievable, even with the i5. You know, even when it's booting up, I think my laptop is slightly faster, but it's only because it's got an i7 processor in it. Now, I've used note takers all of my life. I've used them for probably 20 years. I've went through the Braille Note series, the Braille Sense series, and every time I've bought one, I've just thought, God, this is slow, isn't it? I mean, as soon as I, and again, slightly off topic, but I think it's a key point, I've configured every keystroke I have on my laptop, I've configured the same thing on the Elm Braille to actually work, so that, you know, memory wise it's great. So Windows 3, for example, on my laptop takes me into Microsoft Word, you know, that's my shortcut. Windows 3 on the Elm Braille does the exact same thing, and the speed is unbelievable. You know, press Windows 3 and Word's in there, and Word's loaded in about 3 seconds, if that. And even when it's booting up, you know, when you first start the Elm Braille, you're lucky if it takes 20 seconds. The speed is phenomenal. And I think I don't need to, but when the i7 processor model comes out, I think I probably will be sending it back for a wee upgrade as well. But there's no need to if you buy the i5. If you buy the top of the range spec, which I spoke about at the start, and now with that, you know, it's got the i5 processor in it, I mean, you really are future-proofing yourself in terms of this machine. It'll last you a long, long time.
Okay. Any more questions from James, Andy?
Yeah, the final one here. Can you do a global search within all files for a word string, or is it confined to just locating specific files?
Okay, I can answer this one. I mean, you know, you could search, say, your Windows PC. You know, you could do Windows E, and then you can use the exact same search facilities as you do in Windows. Now, what I have done as well, though, and I don't know if anybody's mentioned this on the show before, there again, this is a Windows 10 machine. So I've downloaded a small program called Everything. Has anybody heard of the Everything program that allows you to search for files and folders on your computer? And that works great. You know, with Everything, I can search for words or phrases within a document. I could search for a specific report. You know, I could search by dates, and I can also search for specific files, doing a global search through the Everything program. So you really do, your options are virtually endless with this machine. So I hope that answers the question there.
I don't know that app. Do you know that one, Robin?
No, I don't. I mean, I obviously just use the search box in the start menu, which does similar things, but not by date as far as I know. But that sounds
like
really
that.
Good. Yeah.
Oh, the Everything Pro, again, it's going slightly off topic, but it's free. It's by a company called Void Tools, V-O-I-D, Void Tools. It's free. Honestly, it just speeds up. I've never been as productive with the Elm Braille and everything. And, you know, when these things are combined, my search facility just is really, really speeding up because of these two things now.
Okay, let's go to another comment, actually, this one from Kowal, who got in touch with us. Let's hear what she had to say, Andy.
Yeah, hi there. On Tech Talk this week, you have been discussing Microsoft tablets. In a week or so, I will have the new generation of Elm Braille. If you remember, Julie Rodaway did a demonstration of the old generation of Elm Braille. This new generation will work with the Focus 40. I have bought this because when I go to interviews, I can show potential employers that I can use Windows 10. Also, if I get the same through Access to Work, once I acquire a new job, I won't have to get JAWS and Focus separately, as this will be a package affair. At the same moment, Sight and Sound have offers on new licenses and SMAs. I also use a Mac and have used Microsoft Word Air for the Mac, which has vastly improved. So at least I will have both worlds. And yes, that's from Kowal.
Interesting. Okay, well, again, that's a really interesting point. You know, you can have the one-stop shop solution. You don't have to have multiple machines, you know, multiple licenses. You can have one machine that's capable of running all of it, sure. And that's key for any employer, isn't it? He or she will look at that and say, oh, well, okay, that's good. That saves us some money, or indeed Access to Work can pay for it. Great.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of, you know, the Elm Braille, I've never seen anything like this. I really have not seen anything like this before. And as I said to you before, you know, I was always, you know, buying new Braille equipment. You know, I thought, yep, this new model's going to be better than the last. I think those days are over. And, you know, because of this machine, and my bank balance will be much healthier now as a result. But, you know, this really, in terms of this machine, I've never seen anything as cutting edge as this in terms of Braille in my life. And I'm not a salesman or anything. I don't work for the company or anything. It's just, you know, from a user's perspective, I've just never been as happy with a product in a long, long time.
Okay, let's get to another question. This one from Beth, Andy.
Hi, please ask if a USB QWERTY keyboard can be attached if desired. Yeah, thanks, and appreciate the interview.
I'm very interested in the answer to this one.
Okay, so again, I can answer this one for you, Beth. The answer is yes, and I'll give an example of where this has been particularly beneficial for somebody that I actually know. When they bought their Elm Braille, the kind of, I don't want to say disadvantage, but if you're kind of new to this Elm Braille, then some of the keystrokes can be mind-boggling, to put it, you know, bluntly. You know, it's a huge learning curve if you're not familiar with the focus and jaws side of things, working with them in tandem. So this person who had the Elm Braille, he was just finding it really difficult to master the keystrokes. So he plugged a USB keyboard in and used it, you know, with the USB keyboard. It works great, you know, fully functional, using the USB keyboard. Longer term, I wouldn't advise using it longer term with a USB keyboard, because to me that kind of defeats the purpose of the Elm Braille. You know, if you'd be as well just buying a laptop, really, if you just want to use a USB keyboard. But to answer your question in short, yes, there is no reason why you can't plug a USB keyboard into it and use it that way as well, if you so desire.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point for somebody like me who, you know, kind of resists using it with Windows at the moment, only because, and I don't use my Focus with my Braille, with my Windows system at the moment, because I've learned a lot of Braille, but I haven't quite got as far as the commands, and, you know, I know I'll get there with it, but it just feels like a step too far at the moment. So having that QWERTY option would be good, but ideally you don't want to let that get over, you know, get in the way of you learning those commands. It's a really interesting piece of kit, Stuart. I know you're excited about it. I can totally understand why. I can also tell you that the 14 seems to be available, but only in America at the moment. The Elm Braille 14 seems to be out. $17.95, that's in dollars. So it's not here yet, but we're going to get in touch with Sight and Sound later after the show and find out if they are planning to stock it anytime soon. And if you are interested in it, and it's of you know, something that you might be looking to get, and bearing in mind you do need to have, in at the moment anyway, a Focus 40 Braille display for this to work. Essentially, you dock it in to the Elm Braille. You would need the Focus 40. You would also need to have a functioning JAWS license as well that you can put onto the system. You would transfer it on. For the i5 version, it's $1,825 for the Elm Braille. And if you want the Intel Core M3 version, the mobile processor, which is a little bit less speedy, but would be good enough for most tasks, I guess, then you're looking at just over £1,535. You can get that from Sight and Sound Technology. Very interesting, Stuart. I'm so glad you came on this week. Please do come on again and talk more about Braille. We need to do that here on this show. And yeah, again, thank you for coming on. Now, for those, before you go, for those who want to know more about Seascape and your organisation and get in touch with you, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions following this, how do they get in touch with you?
So you can go through our website. There is a contact form on there, and our website is www.seascape.org.uk. Seascape is spelt SEESCAPE. The best way, to be honest with you, I would prefer is, feel free to email me with any questions, and I can do my best to answer them. My email address is stuart.beveridge@seascape.org.uk. Stuart is spelt with a UA, and Beveridge is spelt BEVERIDGE. And if you want me to come back on and, you know, do any more talks or anything with you guys, I'd be delighted. And it's, you know, been a pleasure being here, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak about the Elm Braille.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anytime. Thank you so much for coming on. Stuart Beveridge from Seascape, thank you. It's really interesting, Robin, isn't it, to hear how these technologies have moved on with Braille. That, you know, it used to be the very low-powered kit. Now, in fact, you can get something quite decent.
Yeah, and I just hope that the upgrade path continues to be available in an affordable way. So if you want to go to an i7, as and when that becomes, I mean, obviously it is available at the moment, but, you know, as the product is able to be updated, would you have to swap out the whole thing, or can you, you know, is there an upgrade path there? That'd be really good. But yeah, really useful info. Thanks, Stuart, and love that accent. Absolutely love it.
Right, look, let's get to some news.
News from the internet.
And I just want to mention, because I wanted to actually mention this last week, and then I think I just started talking and then the hour disappeared. What's new? I wanted to mention, and I have to apologise before I even start here, because I don't know how to pronounce this company's name. I want to say Miele, but I don't think that's how you say it. It's M-I-E-L-E. Andy, you could be in charge of pronunciations this week, if you like.
Oh, great, because I've got a great history with that, haven't I? Yeah.
Ponties.
I'm going to go with Miele. Miele sounds fine.
Miele sounds good. These are the guys that make... they make lots of different things. They make vacuum cleaners, they make washing machines, dryers, very high-end stuff, usually, and it's known for a good, solid build, well done. I think it's a German company. And very, very good. So that's great. But they've made a washing machine for blind and partially sighted people. It's called the Guideline washing machine. It's got tactile controls, it's got audible signals, and it adds all the... Well, it says it adds the Miele quality as well. Well, it would say that, wouldn't it? But this is interesting. This has managed to they say it's for blind and partially sighted people. It says that it's got the unique tactile control panel that lets you easily select the right program and settings. It's got the, you know, physical buttons that we all like, a rotary control as well. The rotary control uses sound and raised dots to help you quickly select one of the 12 washing programs. It's also got audible program confirmation. So it features audible sounds at different pitches to ensure that you can easily select the program temperature and other settings you want. The higher the selected temperature or spin speed, the higher the pitch of the sound. An audio version of the instruction manual is also included as well to help you quickly master the settings and get the most out of it. It does sound like it doesn't speak, Robin. So it's not speaking information, it's doing audible beeps. This could be maybe... And interestingly, it does say blind and partially sighted, but I'm wondering if this might be better for someone with low vision as opposed to someone who's totally blind. But I don't know. I mean, it may well be... Maybe it'll be perfect. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to speak if the tones are going to do the job. I mean, what's my question? How much? This goes back to the specialist versus mainstream, because there are other ways of making certain models accessible, whether it's because they have controls that are amenable to bump-ons and that sort of thing. Or what was it called? TactiMark? That's a brilliant product that we learnt about recently.
Or you didn't know via about this. The A-Lady. I don't know, how do you guys talk about this? You didn't know what that was? Did you use that? No? I used that at school all the time. I got it everywhere. Yeah. I pretty much tactiled the entire school. It was great.
Going up to teachers and...
Yeah, I'm just marking
a mark on them. Yeah, yeah, I have to do this so I know who you are. It's because I'm blind. I've got to do it this way. But no, this is really interesting. It's £899. Mm. So it is a considered purchase. But then at the same token, I've also looked at other products by this company. They are in the high price range. This is not unique to this company.
And if it's German, it'll last for 300 years. So.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I'm amazed that it's even still in business, to be honest, because it's one of those companies you buy from and then you never need to buy it again because they last forever. We've got one of those vacuum cleaners at home, and we got one. We had the original Hoover, and then we got the Miele or whatever it is. And it's so clear the difference. I mean, the quality of the product is just there. You know, it really is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was also, and I should say, because it's important to say this, that RNIB very much involved in this. And Robin Spinks from RNIB is going to join us in a future show to talk about that relationship, and really looking forward to hearing him tell us about that, because I think it's good, and he can maybe give us some more detail as to how this product will work for blind and partially sighted people. So yeah, RNIB had a hand in this as well. You know, we get a lot of comments from people saying, you know, the companies that we work with, RNIB, you know, we need to do more to force them to do things, and there's an email coming up about that. I know at some point we'll hear that, but I think it's also about working with rather than working against companies. I think it's really important that what the RNIB does on this, so that's great. I did mention Be My Eyes earlier. We talked about, did we talk about this, or did you guys talk about it? The RNIB have now added their support as well.
We did.
So RNIB support through Be My Eyes. I thought it was really important to mention.
And Galloway's as well.
Galloway Society. We're under the other category. I don't know why we're under the other, but there you are. But hopefully that can be changed, because we're next to what, Clear Blue at the moment?
Yeah, and not under the information one. You're under other.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that, but I know that technology advice is one thing. The RNIB Technology for Life team, very much available there, and that can be very useful. Mm-hmm. You've got a problem on your computer, you get instant access to someone. You know, and I know the video thing might put some people off, at least in the sense of, because I've thought that sometimes making a call through the Be My Eyes app as opposed to trying to contact a company directly. And then I thought, well, what I'm talking about here isn't a visual thing. But actually, that doesn't matter. It's about getting through easily to the, I mean, like that Google problem I had. You know, it's just getting through to someone at Google's disability desk easily. You don't have to call a number. You don't have to find a number online and sit in a queue or press one for this and two for that. You're just on. You're just on with a person. And if you do need some sighted support or you do need them to look at something, you've got the option. I've got to say, I mean, Be My Eyes is a fantastic app. And, you know, it's a bit like the Amazon Echo and the Google Home to me. I always knew one would win out over the other. I don't think either's won out yet, although, if I'm honest, I think the Amazon Echo is better. So probably it will win out. And I think it's a bit like that with Aira and Be My Eyes. You know, Aira's a paid-for service. You've got to pay quite a bit for it. Whereas Be My Eyes is volunteer-led, but still, at the same token, brilliant service. And you get that specialised help as well, which is key.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want the Google Home to go away. I certainly wouldn't want Aira to go away. But why isn't it here in the UK? You know, what's going on there?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I remember reading that the number of volunteers has also skyrocketed in the last couple of months, with everyone working from home or furloughed or something. Yeah, the number of volunteers has jumped up again. And I remember that news item last year just saying, we've got so many volunteers and not enough people using the service.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And of course, you know, in ratio terms, it probably makes sense because there's always going to be more sighted people than blind people, right? That's just the way it is. Unless we all end up inside the world of the Apple TV drama C. You know, unless we all end up in that world, then it's not going to happen. Then you've got all these sighted people, you know, looking for help through their Be My Eyes app. But I think, you know, the way I look at it is that, you know, that's fine to some degree. But we've got to let people know that my little dog in the background there telling me someone's probably at the front door. But, you know, it is great that we have the capability to have these things and have them available to us. But we do need people to use them because we don't want them to go away. I don't think Be My Eyes is going anywhere, to be honest. The specialist support aspect of it is key.
Yep.
And my dog agrees, it would appear. Yep. So that's good news.
I think your TV's just arrived.
Yeah, that's right.
He's excited.
The telly's here. Right, let's get some emails, shall we? You happy with that, dog? Excellent. Let's get some emails.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
It's the doorbell.
Here's your mail today.
Here's your Amazon parcels today. Right, let's get into the emails, Andy. What have you got?
So here's a quick one, but probably with a long answer due from it. So please, can someone tell me why you would want A-Lady and Siri on your iPhone? What is the purpose? Surely you need one or the other. Please explain. That one comes from Barry.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question to ask. And I must admit, I'm kind of annoyed I didn't answer this when we were talking about this before. We're, of course, talking here about having A-Lady, and you were talking about your Echo Buds recently, Robin, about, you know, those and the benefits of them and all of that. Why would you want them as well as having Siri? Well, I'm going to let you have a go at this one and I'll chip in with my ideas.
Well, I mean, on Android, for example, you can choose which is your primary virtual assistant and then you might just stick with that one. So you might want the A-Lady or even the Google Assistant, which is very good as well. On iOS, you can't do that. You're stuck with Siri. I say stuck. I mean, she hasn't moved on, which is a real shame. Let's hope that in iOS 14 or whichever update comes up in the hopefully not too distant future, she really will up her game. So often she still throws you to a web, you know, search results or number of. So that's one reason why I'd want the A-Lady on my phone, given equal parity with Siri, or ideally to replace her altogether. But there's no way that Apple are going to let that happen. And Siri is very tightly integrated into launching apps, and Siri Shortcuts is really powerful. So choice is a good thing. And for certain things, Siri's going to be the only one that you can use. And for other things, the A-Lady's going to come up trumps. And she has this flourishing ecosystem of skills, third-party skills as well. Now, because of the tied-down nature of iOS, you're not going to get that full A-Lady functionality from the home button, for example, which is where something like the Amazon Buds, Echo Buds, come in. Otherwise, you have to open up the Amazon Alexa app, tap on the Ask Alexa button at the bottom, that tab in the middle at the bottom, and then you can launch skills and things. But still, it's a more limited experience if you haven't got the Echo Buds, which is having a full Echo in your ears with you all the time. So yeah, it's a complicated environment and there are lots of restrictions and that sort of thing, but that's the not very elegant answer, Barry, from me.
Well, I agree with you. I think I'd almost spin the question the other way and say, why would you not want to have multiple voice assistants? One thing I like about Google is you can have pretty much anything you want on there. You've got that with your Android, Andy, so you can have you could have Alexa if you wanted, or you could have Google Home, or you could have whatever you wanted on there. I mean, you know, it could be worse, guys. We could have Bixby from Samsung. I mean, that's just utterly awful. So we could have that. But I mean, that's the thing. Google Assistant built into all the Android phones is brilliant. It's a great assistant.
And there's obviously that app on the iOS as well. So you could have that as well as the A-Lady app if you wanted.
Yeah, some people are doing that. I've been reading a lot of people saying that they're moving away from Siri. And I get that, because to be honest, I think for very basic tasks, for me it's calls, text messages, I'm trying to think, what else would I use her for? Maybe that's it. I don't use HomeKit, so I don't use any of the smart stuff through Siri. You'd think I would, considering I'm a bit of an Apple household, but I just haven't built it into that for some reason. Probably because when I got all my stuff, it wasn't supported at that stage, whereas now it probably is. And I've set everything up through the A-Lady, so I'm happy.
I think both would be available through Android as well, especially when I'm using the FreeBuds, which are the Huawei version of the AirPods.
Yeah.
So I can double-tap one of them. If I've set it up in the settings, I can double-tap the left-hand side and it will activate Lady A. But I think because I'm using an Android, I may also be able to get it if I'm using the phone itself through the AirBuds as well. So I think both are available on the phone and also when you're hands-free, so to speak.
I mean, the Siri thing, I mean, I've got the HomePods, and one thing about Siri that I like is that on it, it's clearly built for music. You know, it's got all the information there. If you ask for a song or information about a song, it's all there. And I like that. I do think that's a nice aspect to it. But I wonder if maybe they'll try and push Siri towards some kind of area like that. That maybe you're just the music thing, or you're just that. And they'll actually bring in, I don't know how you feel about this, Robin, but maybe that Alexa might be taking over Siri at one point. I mean, do you think that's possible?
On the HomePod? Never.
Or no, I'm on the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm thinking about, for example, iOS 14. They're saying there's going to be support for more third-party apps, you know, to be your default apps.
Yeah, I mean, I think that because of Siri shortcuts, you could have a third-party Alexa app that would donate a shortcut to the shortcuts app. I haven't come across one yet, and maybe Apple, knowing Apple, might have scuppered that. But I downloaded one called Astra recently. There are a number of apps that have just basically, they're a big button on the screen which you can tap to use the Echo. And I'm thinking, well, with Siri shortcuts, why can't they donate one to the shortcuts app? And then you can program it to say whatever you want to say. You could say, you could press the home button, Siri would double bleep, and then you could say fire up the A-Lady or whatever the phrase you want to choose, and then it would open up that app, tap the button for you, and then you've got Alexa right there with you, and that would feel like integration. That hasn't happened yet, but I mean, people probably remember when the HomePod first came out, I predicted on this show that, hey, maybe this really means that Siri's going to finally up her game, because that's a direct competitor for the Echo and Google Home smart speakers, and people aren't going to be happy if you can just use it to play music and stuff. You'll want to be able to ask the weather and play games and all sorts of things. I know you can do the weather, but she hasn't really moved forward at all.
No, I agree with you on that, but I think that it's interesting. I look at Microsoft and I look at what happened to Cortana, and let's be honest, Amazon's A-Lady is probably going to take over on the PC side.
Most PCs, I mean, you've got the choice of which one you want.
And some laptops you can buy now that's built in.
With a
you
button.
Know, it's all built in. In fact, there's one I looked at CES this year that had the capability, even when the lid was closed, you could use the laptop as an Echo.
Yep.
I mean, that's smart. I like that. I really like that. And I think that's if that's the way it's going, that's good. I don't know if Apple will go down that route. Part of me feels that they're too egotistical to let go of Siri in the way that Microsoft have let go of Cortana. And I'm glad because Cortana was useless.
Well, we should say that the next big update, having said it's big, it's the they do two a biannual or a twice annual update to Windows 10. And the one that's going to land, if it hasn't in your laptop already, because they're a kind of a gradual rollout, is 2004. That's the next one, guys. There's not a lot of new features in there, but one of them is that you can. They are decoupling Cortana from the operating system and making it a store app. And so that means you don't have to have it in the start menu. You can expunge it from your taskbar, etc. So that's an acknowledgement that they really, you know, Cortana didn't do it for them, and they want to move away from that space because it's going to take a lot of resources to keep an AI version.
I've got so much respect for that, though, because that's the right way to do it. If it's not working, if people don't want it, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I fear that Apple will just hold on and hold on because they don't want to let it go. I keep thinking back to the social network Ping, which made me laugh because, you know, it was so ridiculous. And it obviously didn't go anywhere, and they did quietly drop it. But, you know, you can't just drop it. You've got to replace it with something. You've got to give us something because clearly people want the access to it. Having the A-Lady in my Mac would be the perfect solution to everything, especially if she could integrate into all the apps. But I don't know. Apple feels more closed than that, whereas
they
Android
wouldn't,
would let that happen. Microsoft would let that happen, but I don't think Apple would. Okay, very interesting question, Barry. Thank you for that. Right, Andy, what's next?
Yep.
A possibility for Robin's Bluetooth keyboard escape key issue is that he's not using an Apple Magic keyboard. For me, I use the escape key to go back to the previous page, which seems to emulate the scrub, which is something that I don't use. Now, some years ago, I had a Plustronics Bluetooth keyboard, and whilst it was very handy, being able to have it paired with more than one device, the big downside is that the function keys didn't function. I find the function keys very useful for adjusting volumes, pausing playback, and skipping backwards and forwards. So after about 18 months, the Plustronics became a bin item. Cheers, that's from Rod.
Brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, so does that solve your problem?
I don't, well, not with the K380, but
You've got a physical escape key on there, do you not?
You have, yeah, but it doesn't do it. It doesn't do what I was expecting it to do in many instances, which was always if you could do a two-finger scrub, that would go back a page or that would close a pop-up.
Oh,
the
see.
Escape key okay. would do that as well. It's a bit, I don't know. And he's certainly right that different Bluetooth keyboards display very different properties. The mapping, the key mappings, the way they've chosen to allocate keys to different things, and some of them are layered commands, etc., is very variable. So I love this keyboard. Wouldn't change it for the world. He's absolutely right. So if I'd had a first-party Magic keyboard, I'm sure it would behave itself a little bit better. But I love this one, and it's a fraction of the price.
Well, just before we go, I want to quickly mention my MacBook dilemma, because I've been really, really... Robin knows, in fact, you know as well, Andy, because we've been on WhatsApp back and forth. We've all been on Zoom calls. And I think Andy's, quite frankly, sick to death hearing about this. But I've been going on about the fact that I want to get... Well, that's right. He's fine. I really wanted to get the new MacBook Air. I like the look of the new MacBook Air. Really nice. But part of me fears, I've read so many reviews about it, and the reviews tend to say that if you want to do any serious productivity on it, don't buy it. Buy a MacBook Pro. And the issue with the MacBook Pro is you don't have the function row key set. You do have it in virtual form, I guess, through the touch bar. But you don't have physical function keys. In fact, the last MacBook Pro 13-inch version, I'm wanting something portable here, that had the function row key was back in 2017, so I'd have to go back to there to get something. And to buy that new, or not new, but even used, is £1,300. Now, I've just dropped £800 in a telly, so that's not going to happen. So I'm thinking to myself, right, what do I want? What do I want to achieve here? So I've come to the conclusion that I really do need to get something like a MacBook Air, but I don't see the point in spending all that money for something that's not going to give me the power I need. So what I've done is I'm looking at a second-hand MacBook Air from 2017. It's got the functional key. It's got the power in it I need. I can get the SSD upgraded if I wanted to. It's a nice form factor. I know the keyboard works. I don't have to worry about the keyboard being that horrible butterfly one. It's got the original keyboard that everyone loved in those MacBooks. And in fact, I still think, and I've read a lot of articles about this, that the MacBook Air 13 of 2017 was arguably one of the best designs they've done and have never beaten since. I don't need a fancy screen. I don't need Retina display. I don't need any of that stuff. I just want a computer that's functional, that will do the job. So that is what I've decided to do, and that is my recommendation. If you're blind, don't look at the latest ones, because by all accounts, and it depends on what you're doing on it. If you're not planning on doing video editing, if you're not doing photo editing or audio editing, you're probably going to be fine. If you're using it for basic tasks, that's fine. But truthfully, most people are saying don't buy the i3 version because it's too slow or it's not very responsive. And bear in mind, if you add VoiceOver to that, you're going to add more power. So I would recommend you go for the i5. That means you're up at $1,299 for a MacBook Air. Whereas I can get a 2017 MacBook Air 13-inch for under £600, which I think, you know, secondhand, granted. But, you know, it's a lot cheaper and I'm not really gaining much by buying the other. And that's where I've come to that conclusion. So, yeah, I'm being a canny Scotsman for once, Robin.
Very wise. Yeah, that's good. Really good. I mean, that was a brilliant machine. And it isn't dated. So, and you're doing 4K video editing, which is going to push it to its somewhere near its limits. But
well, I've come to the conclusion that I may not get there with that. And you know what? I've kind of accepted that because the machine I've got, my desktop at home, is fine to do all that stuff. I don't need all that power on the move as much as I would have liked to. And I'm accepting that now. Because to get that kind of power on the move, I was looking at the MacBook Pro 13-inch. The only thing I liked about it was, okay, it didn't have the functional keys. But one thing I learned this week that I didn't know is that if you've got a MacBook Pro with a touch bar, when you switch VoiceOver on, it actually enables Function 1, Function 2, Function 3 as your function row keys. So you can hold down Function, press 1, 2, 3, 4, and it will act in the same way. So it does give you your function row key back.
And we should make that really clear. The touch bar, you have the option of when you hold down the FN key, your F1 through F12 pop up on that bar at the top. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you hold down the FN key, the number row 1 through 0 will act as function keys as well. And that's brilliant. That's really, really good.
Yeah. Guys, that's it. We're out of time. But thank you so much once again for being with us. And we will be back again same time next week. Robin and Andy, thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Keep in touch. Tech Talk at rnib.org.uk. Catch you next week.